All right. Okay. I'm going to call the November 15th Budget and Finance Commission meeting to order. And it looks like we don't have any speakers. Am I correct? Or any members of the audience with questions? Okay. Andrea, may I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Beasley?
Here.
Commissioner Fortunato?
Here.
Vice Chair Mason?
Here.
Chair Salverson?
Here. All right, thank you. And now I'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, now staff liaison report. Mr. Gephardt, please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the commission. Just a couple things for you this evening. I'm sure you're aware, but I just thought I'd mention it in case you weren't, that Chris Cornelison, our deputy town manager, has been appointed interim town manager by town council. So he has stepped into that role, and the council is has begun the process of looking for a permanent replacement for the town manager position. Additionally, action taken at the last council meeting this past Wednesday, the marketplace agreement has been reached with the developer and the council on the marketplace, and so that project should be moving forward. So that was kind of a big deal. And then thirdly, we have three openings that that are on our commission beginning January. We actually have a current opening already, but then two additional openings opening up on the commission, and so we have interviews scheduled next week. I believe we have five candidates for those three positions on the commission moving forward into next year, January 2023. So hopefully good results there. Hopefully we have some strong candidates to choose from, but I know Madam Chair and the Mayor will be participating in those interviews with myself to try to select those candidates that fit what we're looking for and can assist us moving forward in the Budget and Finance Commission. So those are kind of the top items that I had for you this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gephardt. Let's see. Item one, please, Andrea.
Agenda item one, review and approval of the October 18th, 2022 regular session meeting minutes.
Okay, commissioners, any questions? Okay, may I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. Motion passes. And then I think we're going to next go to item five. So, Andrea, if you could read that. That's the last item.
Agenda item number five, discussion regarding opportunities for the commission to participate in the next 10-year general plan update.
Thank you, Chair Salveson and commissioners. My name is Melini Sims, and I'm a principal planner with the town of Oro Valley. My purpose today is to invite you to participate on the next general plan update. So many of you are probably familiar, have seen this document. This is our current general plan. It's known as the Your Voice, Our Future General Plan. And it was ratified by the voters in 2016. So a general plan is a 10-year document that sets long-range policy as well as guides decisions for the town throughout its time frame. Because it was ratified by the voters in 2016, that means that we need to update the general plan by 2026. But first, why is the general plan important? Well, it's important because it gets things done. The general plan includes the community's vision as well as some guiding principles for what they want to see in the town of Oro Valley, and it also includes goals, policies, and actions of how to make that vision a reality. And if you haven't spent as much time by reading through the whole document, is that there are actions, and some of them are related to finance. And so, for instance, some examples are shown on the screen. Now, when I say the general plan gets things done, I truly mean it. In the town of Oro Valley, I think we pride ourselves in the fact that the general plan is not a stagnant document that just sits on a shelf. Every year, we provide progress reports to the town council to let them know how the town has progressed on those actions. And currently, to date, 95% of the 310 actions have been either completed, are now maintained as our current operations, or are in the progress of being completed. We will be providing this year's progress report to the town council on December 7th, should you be interested. Now, you may be thinking, why am I talking about the next general plan when we still have 4 years left in this one? Well, we'll still be working on this one. And in fact, the town council's strategic leadership plan will help us prioritize those remaining actions to make sure that they're evaluated or completed within the next 4 years. So along with the general plan's importance of getting actions and projects done, it's also a state law requirement. So in Arizona, all jurisdictions must have a general plan and must update it every 10 years. The state also requires certain topics to be included in the general plan, and some of which that I think will be of high interest this time around is housing, water, land use, even how the town will grow, as well as public safety and transportation. And again, finance is kind of underlying to a lot of these in terms of how they get done. So the last general plan was ratified by 71% of the voters. And it had extensive outreach done, which actually won a couple awards. And that's exactly why we're starting 3 years early again this year, is using the same methodology. We want to make sure there's enough time to get a lot of community feedback, because ultimately it is the community's plan. And this is what the 3 years of planning kind of amounted to. I'm not going to go through all of the numbers, but this is our baseline moving forward. And I do think with new technology, we'll be able to achieve this or even have more input than last time. And from all that input, that's, again, what really created the guiding principles and the vision of the general plan. And this is what we heard about 10 years ago, and we want to go back out into the community to make sure that we're still providing the vision that the town wants to see. Our first step to doing so is creating a public participation plan. This is really what lays the groundwork for the next 3 years. It explains what the scope is for the next general plan update, but what people we should be engaging with and how we should engage with everyone. So for instance, engaging with a teenager is a little bit different than engaging with a retiree. What format should we use to make sure we're hitting every demographic as well as geographical areas within the town? Which is why I'm here today, is to invite you all to participate on a public participation advisory group. So what we're looking for is board and commission members to join us to kind of look at the current general plan, what extent the update will be, but also what community values we have with regard to that community engagement aspect. And ultimately, the advisory group will be looking at a public participation plan that will be recommended to the town council for adoption. Now, for this advisory group, we are looking to meet over December and part of January. We will, of course, skip holiday time, but it would be weekly meetings, so once a week, possibly in the afternoon, and you can participate either in person or online. We'll definitely have more specifics as we move forward. And if you are at all interested or you have ideas of ways to engage the community or organizations that you work with, I encourage you to just send me an email and let me know of your interest, and that way we can at least get some more information to you to make sure it works with your schedule as well. I just want to also assure the commission that this is just the beginning. Over the 3 years, you'll see my face a lot more because we will be routinely updating the commission on the work for the general plan, not only just the community outreach, but we will also be creating committees that will help work on the goals, policies, and actions, getting those projects in the general plan that you feel will help with our long-term goals for the next 10 years. And so that will also be included over that next 3-year period. And with that, if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. And my contact information is also on the screen for you. Yes.
So I assume that what you're looking for is individuals rather than this organization participating in mass.
Sure. And Jill Sarveson, Commissioner Beasley. Everyone is welcome. So if all 4 of you would like to participate, I would be very happy. But yes, we're looking for individual participation. At this point, yes. Thank you all for your time.
All right. Andrea, can you read in item number 2, please?
Agenda item 2, review, discussion, and possible action on proposed financial and budgetary policies.
Okay. Go ahead, David.
Yeah. Good evening, once again, members of the commission, Madam Chair. So made a few updates based upon the discussion that we had at the last BFC meeting. Those updates have been highlighted for you in my memorandum. You know, basically a couple items that I'll just point out, not to be redundant, but one of the items, I did reduce the committed fund balance. If you'll recall, at the last meeting last month, that committed fund balance was proposed to be at 35%. I did dial that down a little bit to 30%. I know Vice Chair Mason had some comments about the unassigned fund balance and whether we ought to try to identify a target for what that unassigned fund balance would be. I just said that the unassigned fund balance ought to be positive. We certainly don't want a negative unassigned fund balance. But the reason why I said just a positive balance there is because the way the policies are written, if you'll recall and you can review them, there's basically a built-in transfer amount above that committed level that any amounts above that are supposed to be utilized either as a transfer to the capital fund for capital needs and purposes or to pay down the unfunded actuarial liability for the PSPRS plan and our pension plan. And so, I was basically trying to balance. I don't anticipate, assuming we follow policy, which we haven't done a very good job of in the past, that part of the policy, I'll say, of making that transfer, the amounts in excess of that committed balance. Assuming that we do that moving forward, there really shouldn't be a significant unassigned fund balance that's building up because those amounts are being transferred to the capital fund. So I guess when you kind of take those two changes or those two policies and kind of put them together, I guess my intent there is that I really want to present something that's balanced, and 35%. Like I said, I think we're probably going to hit that at the end of this fiscal year in terms of a committed fund balance. But I didn't want to. What I'm trying to do is balance our general fund fund balance and reserves with our capital needs and our capital fund needs moving forward, and so. Assuming that we did hit that 35%, then that doesn't really leave a lot left over to transfer to our capital fund for capital needs and purposes. And so I'm really trying to balance those two funds and what the needs are moving forward. So that was kind of my intent and purpose behind that. Additionally, I know there was a comment, I believe it was Vice Chair Mason again, talking about debt and whether we should look at kind of a coverage ratio or whatever. So I did include a coverage ratio in there, an excise tax coverage ratio. I believe it's at 3 times is what's being proposed. We are well over that. I was just kind of looking at preparing for the meeting. I was looking at what our current coverage ratio is for excise taxes versus our debt service needs, and we're roughly at 8 times what our coverage ought to be. And so I don't anticipate that there's any challenge there moving forward. I mean, I'd be open to comment and suggestion. Again, we could certainly increase that. That just would just provide additional security to our bondholders moving forward or our debt holders moving forward. So, I think 3 times really ought to probably be the minimum. I wouldn't want to dip below that. I believe our last Parks and Rec bond, if you look at the covenants there, they said that we needed to meet at least 2 times. So 3 times as well, is well above the 2 times coverage ratio that's required for that issuance. So again, I don't anticipate there's any going to be any issue there. Would certainly be like some feedback from the commission as to whether you want to increase it even further, 4 times or 5 times. I'd be fine with that as well. Trying to remember if there's Commissioner Beasley had a comment on the investment policy. I did integrate that and incorporate that into the draft before you this evening. So those are kind of the changes that I made. Again, just trying to listen to the comments and the feedback from the commission at the last meeting and incorporate those. And again, open to suggestions and feedback this evening. Thank you, Madam Chair and Commission.
All right, any questions or comments? Okay, Commissioner Beasley.
Dave, my only suggestion might be to see if you can find what the coverage ratio is for, let's say, a targeted AAA company or public entity. And use that as our target. If we're trying to ultimately get to be a AAA, we're about AA plus now, that might be a reasonable thing to look at least to set a minimum.
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner Beasley.
What is the range of our debt service payments now on an annual basis, considering, including all the debt that we have now?
Vice Chair Mason, I believe we were at around $2.1 million this past fiscal year. That's going to increase a little bit with the new debt issuances that were issued last year, both the pension obligation bond and the Parks and Rec $25 million bond issuance. So that'll increase a little bit. I don't have that number offhand, just in the back of my mind. I could certainly look at that and get that information back to you, but I believe it's going to be in the 3 to 3.5 range, but again, I would want to research that. I don't want to give you something definitive right now because I just don't have it.
Yeah, I was looking at the CAFR last year, and it was just under $2 million for your largest year, so I would figure it's probably at least close to $4 million or $3 million, because I think you said your debt service was about $1 million for 1 month for last year, I think. But I guess what I'm thinking of here is the revenue. Your revenue is used for a lot of things, and I was more or less thinking from an expenditure your expenditure viewpoint, because since the general fund, or it's basically the general fund, is absorbing all of these debt service costs, of course, if you start getting, we're having recessions or pullbacks or whatever, debt has to be paid no matter what. You may have to cut personnel, or you might have to cut capital, or you have to cut this or that, but, your debt, you're going to have to pay. And if we keep issuing more debt with the sales tax and these various other revenues having to absorb that, what I was kind of thinking of maybe having a something based on like maybe 10% of your general fund expenditures or whatever percentage you think is appropriate. I think right now, or based on last year, I don't know, I remember if it was around 5% of your general fund expenditures for your debt service. So, you know, maybe looking at it from the perspective of, you know, how much of our budget every year do we want to have going to debt service? Because if you do, if you have debt service, then it takes away from your capital. It takes away from being able to put money into your committed balance. It could affect other things. So having this particular one three times your debt service, and I think, well, three times debt service would be, I don't know, whatever it is, four, and do you really want to have $4 million of debt service and think that that might, so I don't know, I was kind of thinking along the lines of a percentage of your expenditures that you don't want your debt service to go above because it takes away from other sources or other priorities that you might have.
Vice Chair Mason, members of the Commission, that's certainly something that I could take a look at and incorporate. I'll have to give that some thought as to what seems reasonable there. Certainly the committed balance is a percentage of your expenditures, so I can kind of understand the thought and rationale and reasoning trying to tie your total debt service to that metric. It adds a little bit of consistency there. I was thinking more in terms of in terms of coverage from a revenue standpoint. Maybe the issue, maybe they both ought to be addressed in the policy because they really are kind of trying to work at two different, looking at two different areas, one being total excise taxes, so that's revenue, and one looking at total expenditures. So trying to fine-tune that and looking at that from a couple different perspectives. So like I said, I like those comments. I think they kind of make sense. I'd have to give it some thought because that's not something that I have thought about yet. So.
And just to comment on the fund balance, one thing I think, having a minimum balance of zero and unassigned, you probably want to have some money left in unassigned just because after all, what's in your committed is basically minimum. And obviously you could still take, if your committed balance gets above 30%, you could still do that. And I think you could probably still have somewhat of a balance in your unassigned because, that something could happen and change and throw that negative, fairly easily. So, but one other thing I was thinking is because you have a committed balance for your fund balance, what that's telling people is that there's some internal restriction we have on the use of those dollars. So I was wondering if part of the policy, if we should say what scenarios or what situations will happen that we will need to use this money. And if we do have to use it, what will be the requirements for replenishment? Because, it might be during a period where, there's a recession or some other downturn, and you may not be able to, if you use it, you may not be able to put it back in the current fiscal year or even the next fiscal year, depending on situations. But I think it'd be nice just to show in our policy what triggers us using that committed balance.
Yeah, Vice Chair Mason, Chair Salverson, members of the Commission. The fund balance policy does deal with if amounts dip below what our targets are, what the replenishment looks like. So that is included in the policy, in the current fund balance policy. So, talks about in 3.0, fund balance shall be used only for emergencies, non-recurring expenditures, or major capital purchases that cannot be accommodated through current year savings. Should such use reduce the balance below the appropriate level set by the objective for that fund, restoration recommendations will accompany the decision to utilize said balance. So I think that policy in the fund balance policy, that specific policy within the fund balance policy, does kind of deal with that. Again, with the unassigned fund balance, I just think I don't know that I necessarily want to place a minimum there. I just want it to be positive. I agree with you. I don't think we want to see a negative unassigned fund balance, and there are certain things that could cause it to go negative. I think if it did go negative, I would then drop down into policy 3.0 and incorporate that, and bring back recommendations as to what we needed to do to bring it back up to a positive level. So again, I didn't feel like it was necessary to establish a target there, just that we wanted to see it be positive. Note that, explicitly state that within the policy, and then if we do at some point in the future down the road, we do dip down into a negative unassigned fund balance, then we can bring back recommendations, because then that would go against what our policy stated and what our objectives and goals were. So I think I'm hoping that I'm covered there. Hopefully I've addressed your concerns.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, Dave. Noticed on the agenda for the city council or town council tomorrow, they're looking at an additional $3.2 million for the Nirvana Park. Can you explain to me where that fund is coming? Are any of those funds jeopardized by us reducing the 30% or having some of these caps put in place now?
Sure. What I can say is our intent this budget year was to make a transfer. There was a budget transfer from the general fund to the capital fund for amounts in excess of the 25% committed fund balance. So that is included in the budget, and so those are reserves, essentially, that are excess reserves that are, incorporating this policy, the existing policy, not the one that's proposed before you this evening, those reserves would be transferred from the general fund to the capital fund. So basically, that $3.2 million is just reserves. That's the short answer to it. They're just reserves that are transferred from the general fund and the capital fund that will exist in the capital fund until they're spent.
Do we want to, does anybody have a motion? Do we want to recommend the policies, or do we want to wait, or is that the expectation?
That's up to the commission. If the commission is comfortable with the policies in their draft form as presented this evening, then certainly a motion can be made to approve them and recommend approval to town council for the draft policies. Or you can recommend that there are other adjustments or edits that are necessary moving forward, or you can recommend that, if you have just a simple edit or adjustment this evening, that the policies can be recommended to go before town council with that simple edit or two or whatever. This is really up to the commission how you want to proceed.
I assume that this is a work in progress, so that every year the commission is going to take a look at these, things will be updated as economics change, et cetera, et cetera.
Commissioner Beasley, Madam Chair, that's correct. The policies state that they are to be reviewed and updated on an annual basis as appropriate.
I'm wondering, do we want to make a motion to approve the draft so far with changes, or do we want to request, you know, do we want to request some changes, be input, and approve it with what we request, or are you guys good with what David's done so far?
I'm good with what he's done so far, and I would.
I am as well.
I am.
I would make a motion that these policies be approved by the Finance Commission, with a recommendation that it go to Town Council for approval.
I'll second that. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Thank you for all of your work. I think we've come a long way with these policies from last year to now.
Just one quick question. Do we have the actuarial report for the PSPRS?
Yeah, there we go, finally. I'm afraid you've closed it, so you can't ask the extra question after you're done. I'm sorry.
All right, Andrea, may we have agenda item number 3 read in, please.
Agenda item 3, presentation and possible discussion of the town's FY22-23 financial update through September 2022.
Good afternoon, good evening, Madam Chair, Commission members. Happy to be reporting our financial update for the first quarter of the fiscal year. Things really still going swimmingly, so we'll jump right in. First, our disclaimer slide, some reminders. All of our amounts, actuals, and estimates are preliminary. Obviously, they haven't been audited yet, and so they are subject to change. We do have adjusting audit entries that occur at year end, and typically those are not factored into our year end estimates. We obviously should look at our estimates as fluid, informational only. It's actually not really a standard based on some research that we've done. It's not really a standard across municipalities in the area to present year-end estimates on their financial updates. It's usually more of just an actual to budget comparison. So these are informational only, taken with a grain of salt. When we assess our financial performance, we're typically looking at our adopted budget, our adopted plan for the fiscal year, and comparing that to our actuals to assess how we're doing. Overall, our revenues continue to perform well compared to our budget, and expenditures are trending as we would expect. All right, we'll start with the general fund with the revenues. Local sales taxes, we've collected just over 25% of the budget amount. We're at $6.4 million through September. We have been able to bump up that year-end estimate. We're currently looking at about $26.5 million, which is about $1.3 million over budget, or about 5%. We're really seeing higher than expected growth in a lot of areas, contracting sales tax in particular, but retail, restaurant and bar, hotels and remote seller are all performing well also. Our state shared revenues, we've collected about $4.1 million through September. That's about 23.3% of budget. We are trending higher than expected in our state sales tax based on what we're seeing so far. So we have adjusted our year-end estimate for those. We are looking at coming in total for the category about $640,000 or 3.6% above budget. The higher than expected state sales tax is being offset just a bit with, I wouldn't really say weak, but some slightly lower than expected collections in vehicle license tax. That may be a sign of maybe economic slowdown perhaps. But anyway, that overage that we are expecting in state sales tax is being offset a bit by that. Charges for services are trending as expected. We are just under 25% of budget through September. The shortfall you see there, the slight shortfall for the year-end estimate, is our fare box revenues primarily. So those are still, fares are still not being collected, and so we have assumed that we will not see those revenues for the current fiscal year. Licenses and permits are looking fantastic. We budgeted 170 single-family residential permits through September. We are at 46. Budgeted 170 for the fiscal year, and we were at 46 through September. So residential revenues are looking good. Commercial is looking positive as well. In fact, that overage you see there at the end of the fiscal year, we're expecting to come in about $260,000 over budget, or about 11.7%, and that is some commercial activity that we have in the pipeline that will be posting this fiscal year. Our grant revenues, we are at 28% of budget, about $127,000 collected. Our year-end estimate is just slightly above budget, and that reflects some federal grant revenues that we've received for transit, some 5310 grant revenues for transit. And then all other are the other categories that are in the general fund, such as our intergovernmental revenues, our interest income, of course, and then our miscellaneous revenues. You can see those actuals compared to budget are exceeding the straight line trend. We're at 28.8%, or about $615,000 collected. The reason for that primarily is a rebate that we received from our municipal risk retention pool. So that has been posted to miscellaneous revenues for the fiscal year. In total, we are just under 25% collected in our budgeted general fund revenues. We're at $12.4 million. We are expecting to have a favorable budget variance at the end of the year of about $2.4 million, or 4.8%, really driven by our two largest categories, local sales tax and state shared revenues. All right, moving on to the expenditures for the general fund. Personnel, we've spent just over $7 million through September, which is about 20% of budget. That's trending as expected. We had mentioned last month our timing of payrolls is factored into that, as well as our pension contributions. We're awaiting our updated reports. Our year-end estimate is looking just a smidge over budget. I am quite confident, though, that we'll be able to make that up through the fiscal year as we see more areas of vacancies and turnovers, refills, and that kind of thing. But currently, we are stating our year-end estimate just slightly over budget, and that's attributable primarily to our town manager turnover. Obviously, we will likely have some overlap, and then that's expected to be partially offset by expected vacancy savings. On our operations and maintenance side of things, we do have, as we had mentioned last month, our $885,000 claim settlement payment for Vistoso Trails. That is in the actuals as well as the year-end estimate. Our year-end estimate also includes about $120,000 for on-call review services, and that is tied to the commercial development. So we do have those overages I talked about in the commercial permit revenue side of things with the revenues, but we also have some on-call plan review, outside plan review factored in on the expenditure side. Our capital, the budget there obviously includes mostly the westward look improvements, but also a few other IT, various departmental needs. Spending still a little low through September. We're at just under $80,000, or about 5.6%, but that should start ramping up here shortly. And then our transfers out, we have posted our budgeted transfer for debt service already, so we're at 12.5% of budget. Once we bring back October, you'll see the first of those three CIP transfers that we make throughout the fiscal year. So that number will be higher, the actuals will be higher when we bring back October. In total, we've spent just under $12.4 million, or 19.2% of budget. We will have a budget variance of $1 million. That's what we're expecting at this point, obviously subject to change. And that's primarily due to the Vistoso settlement payment, but also those on-call review services that I mentioned for the O&M. All right, here is the chart for the general fund through September. Revenues of $12.4 million compared to $9.4 million last fiscal year, so things looking very positive there. Our expenditures, we've spent about $12.4 million compared to $18.9 million last year. I usually mention in this slide that we did have the PSPRS, large $10 million PSPRS payment in last fiscal year. So that is factoring into that difference that you see. We did budget to use fund balance in the general fund of just under $14 million. We've been able to bring that down to $12.4 million just through our positive revenue trends that we're seeing so far. That would bring us to a fund balance in the general fund of about $18 million, which equates to about 37.4% of budgeted expenditures, and that does exceed council's policy by about $6 million. All right, we'll move on to the highway fund. I'll try to be pretty brief here because not a whole lot happening, especially compared to last month. Our licenses and permits, we mentioned those are trending just a bit higher than expected. We may end up bumping up our year-end estimate as we get a few more months of actuals under our belt. State shared revenues, our HERF revenues, those are trending slightly less than expected. So we're watching those during the year to kind of see how they pan out. Not too concerned at this point, so we are still assuming budget, but we'll keep watching that and see if we need to adjust. And then our all other category, I think I had mentioned this last month, we just had a small vendor refund. It was a refund for a prior fiscal year payment. And so you see that that slight overage there, that the budget of $11,000 versus our year-end estimate of $15,000. And then overall for the highway fund, that is the only overage that we're expecting at this point, or the variance at this point. And so in total, looking to come in just over the budgeted amount, about 4.1, 4.2. For the highway fund. And then the expenditure side of things for the highway fund, personnel, we've spent about $261,000 through September. That's just under 22% of our budget. Again, same situation with the general fund. The actuals do depend on the timing of when the payrolls hit during the months. Our operations and maintenance, we've spent about $180,000 through September, or 21.5%. That's trending as we would expect. And then our capital, the pavement preservation program, we'll start seeing some of those actuals really start to hit here in the next coming months. In total for the highway fund, we've spent about $438,000, which is about 9.4% of budget, and there's no variance expected at this time. Here's the chart for the highway fund. Pretty standard there. You see revenue is about flat to last fiscal year at about $1 million. Expenditures are about $400,000 for the current year compared to $600,000 last year. That's most likely just timing of capital expenditures posting to the fund. We did budget to use just under $500,000 of fund balance in the highway fund, and that's just been adjusted slightly for that vendor refund. And that would land us at a fund balance of about $722,000. And then we'll move on to the community center fund. On the revenue side, our contracted operating revenues are trending as expected. We've collected about $755,000 through September, or 19% of budget. Our town operating revenues, we are watching those. Those are at about 21.1% of budget. I think I had mentioned last month that we were seeing just a little bit of weakness in some of our member dues, and so we're continuing to watch that. Recreation program revenues are seasonal. We'll see a lot of those collections further along the fiscal year, actually towards the end of the fiscal year, when we get sign-ups for the camps that happen over there. So we are still assuming budget for town operating revenues, and we'll keep watching those as the fiscal year progresses. And then our other revenues, obviously the bulk of that is our half-cent sales tax revenue, but also our HOA contributions, which will come in the spring, in late spring. We have been able to adjust our half-cent sales tax revenues just based on the positive trends that we're seeing. And so you see that actual there, the budget of 3.6 compared to about 3.7, 3.8. That we're expecting to collect by fiscal year end. In total, we are looking at a favorable budget variance in the community center fund revenues of about $127,000. And again, that is tied to our half-cent sales tax revenue. But we've collected just under 21% of the budget amount through September. And then on the expenditure side for the community center fund, our contracted operating expenditures, those are also trending as expected. We spent about $1.1 million or 23.3% through September. Our town operating expenditures, those are also trending as expected. We're at just over 21% of budget, or $362,000 spent through September. Our capital outlay, it's projected on budget at this time. I mentioned last month we've got a pretty robust capital budget in the Community Center Fund this year, so that will continue to ramp up as the fiscal year progresses. And then our transfers out, same situation with the general fund. We have already posted the budgeted transfers for debt service, so that is the actuals you see there. Our year-end estimate is about $4.4 million compared to our budget amount of just under $4.1 million. And that additional amount reflects additional capacity that we can transfer to the capital fund to be used for the golf course irrigation. And so I'd mentioned last month that our council direction was to bring this fund balance down to $1 million at the end of the fiscal year, use any of that additional to transfer towards the irrigation project. So that is the variance you see there. Again, overall for the fund, that really is the reason for the variance you see there, the 2.5% or $323,000 variance to post that additional transfer in the fund. And then here is the chart for the Community Center Fund. Revenue is about flat compared to last fiscal year at $1.8 million. And then our expenditures, $3.7 million compared to $1.6 million last year. That is attributable to the full debt service payment now for the parks and rec bonds that you see there. We did budget or plan to use fund balance in the Community Center Fund of about $4.7 million. We're estimating that we're going to use a bit more than that, and that's due to that additional transfer that I had mentioned, and that would bring our fund balance in the Community Center Fund down to $1 million at the end of the fiscal year. And with that, we'll take any questions you may have. Thank you.
Okay, what were my questions? Well, the first question was on the in the general fund. And so under council for expenditures, you're at 90,000 already with a budget of 199. So we're a quarter of the way through the year, but we've spent halfway through the year, but we expect to come in all the way. So I'm just wondering what's going on.
Yes, Madam Chair, that's a good question, actually. With the council's budget, they have a lot of annual subscriptions and memberships that are paid, and those usually hit like in July. So that's very typical for their budget, yes.
Another kind of general question. I don't know if it's for you or for Dave, but with capital, it ramps up so slowly. And so my question, I guess, is do you already have committed funds there? And I'm assuming you're reporting on actuals, what's actually hit the books, like cash-wise. So my question is, are there committed funds that have not hit the books yet, but you've signed contracts for materials or that kind of thing?
Yes.
And so I'm wondering about, is that something that maybe should be reported on that kind of a basis? Because I feel like it's a little bit misleading when you look at it. I think if we were to say, oh gosh, you know, everything's going crazy and, you know, with the economy, what can we do? You can't really put the brakes on the capital because you've probably already got some committed dollars that you... It's too late to slow down on those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Madam Chair, Commission members, that's a fair statement. I know we most certainly do have some encumbrances already in the fund, some committed funds that are planned to be spent. I think my only hesitancy on that is that I don't know that I would want to present those as assuming to be spent for the fiscal year, because there may be some situations where either something gets held up intentionally or otherwise. But yes, that's a fair statement. There's certainly committed funds, and this is literally just what's posted. Yes.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
This is a fairly broad question for both Wendy and Dave and the commission. My question is, do we really need this presentation on a monthly basis? When you take a look, particularly early in the year, you can't get any trends out of 2, 3, 4 months. So I guess my question is, do we need to do it monthly? If not, what would be appropriate?
That's a fair statement on Commissioner Beasley and commission members. That's up for discussion, I assume, depending on your preference. I'll let Dave weigh in if he'd like. I know there are quite a number of municipalities that only do quarterly updates for their council, so that's typical. I think in our research we actually found that quarterly was more frequent than monthly, so that's kind of the feedback that I can contribute to that issue, to that statement.
Madam Chair, Commissioner Beasley, members of the commission. So, you know, I think there's two pieces of this. One is the presentation piece, and one is the actual monthly reporting piece. And they're really, we've been combining them. We've been doing them both. The policies, the financial policies, budgetary and financial policies that we just reviewed earlier this evening say that we're to present monthly financials to town council, and so we do. But what does present mean? Does that mean that we include the report, or is that actually a full PowerPoint presentation? You know, I think. The information, I am not in favor of, I'm not in favor of not doing some sort of monthly financial report for the public, for town council, for the BFC. I think that information is critical for decision making, for the council, especially for them to have an understanding and awareness of where the town is at financially. In terms of the presentation, I would be fine with dialing that back to quarterly. Whether that's necessary or needed, I don't know. I think having the information available is to me the most important piece, that it's actually out there in the public sphere and available. Whether we actually do a full blown presentation on a monthly basis. I think that's helpful just as an awareness and understanding piece for elected bodies. But as long as they're reviewing and reviewing the information that we're putting out there in the report, do we need to do a full blown presentation? It really depends on the body and what their preference is. I can go either way on that. If the governing body, the town council, is reviewing the information and whatever, and they don't feel like a presentation is necessary, they feel like it's just superfluous and extra, then that's something I'll await their direction on that. But in terms of the commission and what your needs are, again, I think that's a different even issue and discussion than what the town council's needs are, we present it to the Budget and Finance Commission because that's what our habit has been since the commission has been established. But if you as a body desire to do something different, we are open to direction on that. Again, I would not recommend that we dial back the report itself, in terms of the information that's presented. And in fact, we're undergoing kind of undergoing a review of that report and trying to look at different means and ways to present the information that actually presents more information, but kind of presents it in a cleaner format. So we're doing that review currently, but in terms of the presentation, again, that's up to you as to whether you want that presentation on a monthly or a quarterly basis. That's up to the commission. So, thank you.
Well, I guess I would think if you're going to present it to the mayor and council monthly, we probably should look at it monthly too, just in case we have a comment that we think the mayor and council should be aware of, or
I agree with with what you're saying, with your thought on this, because you look at the 3 months, and there isn't enough really to get a trend, unless something goes wrong, or unless wait a minute here, why are we 49%? We're only a quarter way through the year, right? So, I guess my thought is, if Wendy presents it and it's just vanilla, and everything looks good, and then we just nod and say everything looks good, maybe that's worthwhile doing. For the couple of times when there's an issue, right? And hopefully there's not a big issue every month, which there really hasn't been. You know, I think we kind of poke and prod a little bit, but you know, you can see we're just moving along right now. Whereas maybe halfway through the year, we start getting a little more concerned if, you know, one area or the other is higher. So I can see both sides, but I think, is it a waste of time to spend a little bit of time just to make sure that we're okay? And whatever, you know, rather than having a issue come month five and then somebody says, oh, why didn't we know about this? Well, we didn't really get updates. Any other thoughts? The fact that you're relooking. At ways to, I would say, you know, fewer charts, but charts that have meaning and meat to them, right?
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, just so you're aware, you know, what we're looking at is, it's not necessarily fewer charts, it might actually be more charts, but really trying to distill the information into more of a trend-type format that just, again, kind of gives the reader a sense of the direction of things, and then kind of really focusing more on the budget to actual components and pieces of it. If you'll recall, one of the changes that we made in the budget and financial policies is getting away from the monthly projection and going more towards a quarterly projection, because I think, number one, that monthly projection is very time-consuming, and we're not doing a stellar job keeping up with it, quite honestly. We don't have the staff and resources to do so. But number two, I recognize that there's probably difference in opinion here, but I think especially the first couple months of the fiscal year, there's you know, it's kind of a slower time. August is a time where the council normally adjourns and whatever, and you're just kind of barely getting the fiscal year off and going. And we're still, as staff, we're still, our focus is really in the prior fiscal year and trying to get that cleaned up, closed out, and ready for the auditors. So we've got most of our attention not on the current fiscal year, but on the last fiscal year that ended to prepare for the auditors. And so So once we get past the audit, then it's like, okay, now we can adjust and start looking at this current year and seeing how we're doing and really refocusing into the year that we're in. And so that's really what the intent and purpose is to really kind of go to more of a quarterly type update that helps us, in terms of really providing more meaningful and accurate projections moving forward, I believe. Where we can really devote the focus and attention necessary to where those projections mean something or a little more meaningful, but not to say that they were meaningless in the past. They just we're just trying to tighten that up a little bit and looking for a solution there. So,
yeah, I like the idea, Dave, of kind of boiling this thing down and. You're the ones that are going to see a trend, certainly faster than we are, particularly if we're looking at data right now for September and we're in November. And it's that situation at other times of the year. So, you know, simplifying, even if there's more graphics, but simplifying what we see and ultimately what the town council sees, and you flagging trends for expenditures and revenues that are material, not dimes and nickels.
Different question. Has the loan to water, is that still on hold?
Vice Chair Mason, Commission members, I believe it is. Yes, Dave might be able to chime in if he has something different, but I believe that is on hold for now.
Vice Chair, Chair, members of the Commission, that is scheduled to come back to Council on December 7th, I believe. So we'll bring that back then. Likely there will be a Council report that will go out before then that will provide some more information to Council members just to assist in that discussion and provide awareness and point out issues and things that they need to be aware of in making a determination on that issue.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else? Thank you.
You're welcome.
We always like hearing your presentation.
Thank you.
Okay, we are on agenda item number 4. If you could read that in, please, Andrea.
Agenda item 4, presentation of status update on various projects.
So, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, this is what I would consider as an omnibus. So, a couple meetings ago, and I know there's been requests in prior meetings of future agenda items and status updates on some of these things. So, I just wanted to put this together in a way that hopefully addresses your needs, where we can have some discussion as to if you have additional questions related to these projects and the status. So the first one is the marketplace. That one, again, as I mentioned earlier, when I put this together, it hadn't been kind of really decided, but now it has. There's been agreement between town council and the developer, so that project should be moving forward. There is a wealth of information, public information available to you to dig into, on that project specifically. So I'm not sure if there's anything additional that you're looking for there, but I just wanted to address that. Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve, they did a little short write-up there as to what we're looking at. $350,000 budget this current fiscal year. We're in the process of we've spent $130,000 of that current year to date, roughly through October, and we're working through that that site. Working with a contractor to kind of get that cleaned up, and specifically looking at weed abatement and safety issues specifically moving forward. And then Westward Look Drive, that project has been on delay as we've been trying to work through some title issues with the owner. I believe those have all been resolved at this point, and so we are ready to move forward. But now, because of the length of time that it's taken to resolve those title issues, we've got to go back out to bid because our bid has expired. So that's what's going on there. But we should be able to move forward through the balance of this fiscal year and get that project completed. And then the ASRS Pension Fund did a short write-up there due to, similar to PSPRS, due to the historic returns that they saw in fiscal year 21. That significantly reduced our unfunded liability from, I believe, 21 million down to almost 16 million. Our funded ratio went from almost 70% to 78.5%. I anticipate those numbers will come back down a little bit, given the investment performance that was achieved this last fiscal year, fiscal year 22. Again, I highlighted it there. ASRS has put their credit to them. They put their investment returns out for this last fiscal year. I've been out on the PSPRS site. They have yet to do so. ASRS, their return on their portfolio was 1.1%, which is far short of the 7 that they assume. That 7 is down, and I'm not sure whether you're aware of it or not, but I just thought I'd throw it out there. They were at 7.5% assumed return, and then when they had this good year in fiscal year 21 in their portfolio, they decided to dial that down to 7. So kind of couple different moving pieces there in terms of the funding ratio and the liability that were impacted when they made that change. So taking a much more conservative approach moving forward, which I support, and certainly that that return that they achieved in fiscal year 21 allowed them to do that without too much heartache from the masses in the state. But their 3-year, 5-year, 10-year, and since the inception, their returns are noted there. And they are consistently in those returns, 3, 5, 10, and inception. They're well above that 7% benchmark. So I think 7%, hopefully moving forward, I don't really know, but hopefully that's achievable for them. And if they do achieve it, then that obviously has should have a positive impact both on the town, but also all other participants within the state government, county governments, school districts, et cetera, that are members of the ASRS plan. So with that, I'll be happy to entertain any questions. Thank you.
Do we get any revenue from Westward Look?
Vice Chair Mason, Chair Salverson, members of the commission, we do. We get bed tax revenue from them and a small piece of sales tax revenue as well on some of the ancillary, and the restaurant and so forth, some of the ancillary pieces that are a part of the resort.
Do we have any idea what we get in a year's time? Or
Vice Chair Mason, Chair Salverson, members of the commission, we do. We know exactly. Well, some of us know exactly what we get. But it is confidential per Arizona revised statute, so we cannot disclose that. It's protected information.
All right. Thank you very much. Now we're at council liaison comments. Where did the mayor go?
Yeah, I'll just jump in here. The Mayor Winfield had to step out. He was just going to address some of the items that are on tomorrow night's council agenda, and specifically dealing with Naranja Park and those types of things that you're probably already aware of. But those were going to be his remarks. He let me know that. So,
all right. Future agenda items. Does anyone from the commission have any future agenda items? We'll work on that. We'll work on hiring 3 more people. Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All right. About 5:10, this meeting is adjourned. Oh, is all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion passes, and we are adjourning at 5:10.